As Randy brings the video up, there's one introductory. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to have the scripture reading, but since I'm here, I'll say it at any rate. There is a major missync in the video that you're going to see between what Kristen has to say and what you'll see on the screen. And I watched this several times. The only way that I could hear what Kristen was saying, what she says is very clear, but I had to either look away or close my eyes. I'm just telling you that it's one of those that just didn't work out well. We are so glad to have the scripture reading this morning in French. And as I said, the enriching of our congregation has come through the inclusion of our Congolese brothers and sisters. There is a significant Congolese community here in this town. I think I've heard the number of 500, is that right, that live here in Bloomington Normal? And it just feels right to me that we have believers in Jesus Christ that join us and that we don't have then the barriers between us of nationalities, but you're our Christian brother, and we look forward to hearing the scripture as you read it and as you know it.
Thank you. Jésus s'approcha et leur dit, tout pouvoir m'a été donné dans le ciel et sur la terre. Allez donc auprès des gens de toutes les nations et faites d'eux mes disciples. Baptisez-les au nom du Père, du Fils et du Saint-Esprit. Et enseignez-leur à pratiquer tout ce que je vous ai commandé. Et sachez-le, je vais être avec vous tous les jours jusqu'à la fin du monde. Matthieu chapitre 28, versets 18 à 20.
Benvenuto. Saludos, bienvenido a la asamblea.
Bienvenido.
Pasado.
Willkommen.
Bienvenido.
One speaker from Canada ended his speech saying, "Their relationship is our religion, that we are to love one another." He spoke about the fact that love cannot be like a rock. Just because a rock does nothing bad, it is also doing nothing good. So we too cannot be like a rock and just sit there. Relationships are active. We have to work to love and grow in community. Something that struck me in a way that I've never thought about is that the fact that when man was created, God made a woman to be with the man because he was lonely. Even though now more than ever, we take pride in being able to be independent, we were never meant to live this way. We were made to be in a community with others. As soon as we are born, we have a community around us, helping us and teaching us how to grow up. This reminded me that it is okay to lean on and accept help from those around us. We do not have to be independent to be successful. In fact, it is impossible. Even though we are among 7,000 strangers, my thoughts were well summed up by speaker Kevin Ressler when he said, "Being around so many peace lovers and Jesus followers, it was like a family reunion." That's how I felt. I felt completely comfortable fellowshipping with strangers who quickly became friends because we were able to connect based on the community we are all a part of. At the opening worship, Native Americans living in Lancaster marched in and spoke to us. They told the story of how Mennonites hurt them by profiting off of their land and leaving them to survive on nothing. They forgave us for this unjust act and invited us to worship with them. This act of forgiveness and reconciliation was a true move of community. During a seminar on the Nickel Mines tragedy, a mother whose daughter was killed stated that after the incident, she had no fear when she returned to the public eye, but rather she wondered with each person she saw how they were affected by the tragedy and if that was somebody that sent them money or a card. Those two stories inspired me to have a more loving heart. It is so easy to judge or assume things about others, but when you have a loving heart, negative incidents are not focused on, but rather God's love becomes the focus of life, and this can only be achieved through being in community with others.
Before we left for the Mennonite World Conference in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, we were assigned to bring home the fruit in three different areas: worship, community, and mission. I, along with Adam, was assigned to bring back new thoughts and ideas of the mission of the church that we learned while there. With this, we had to figure out things from the seminars, from some of the speakers in the worship services, and even through many interactions with some individuals from various countries. To help this process go more smoothly, I picked out some seminars to go to that I knew would help me gain more knowledge about all the mission that's happening across the world. One of the seminars that I went to was called Be a Nelson. This seminar introduced many new ideas to me about the many people with various ages, backgrounds, cultures, and lifestyles displaying the intentions of serving all of those that are in need, whether it is in their local communities or across the world from them. They are involved with an organization called Masterpiece. This organization is big in the Netherlands, which is where the speakers came from for the seminar. They explained how in many different ways anyone can become a Nelson through the dedication to the places that are in need, that they go to. And that it doesn't matter if you're young or old, speak a different language than others, short or tall, strong or weak, anyone can help provide service anywhere in the world. Also, through the many worship services that we attended while there, I learned a few new and interesting ideas about what mission relates to the churches all across the world. For example, in the morning service on Thursday, Reverend Mendez pointed out to us Ephesians 4:1-7, which led to her saying that everyone should walk in a manner worthy of their calling. Another example from the worship service later in the day, when the speaker, Nzuzi Mukawa from Dominican Republic of the Congo, explained a major idea saying, without mission, the idea of Anabaptism is nothing. To me, this was a very powerful statement that really stuck out to me and others and made me realize just how vital mission is to Anabaptists across the world and to many people in different countries and continents across the world. I also learned from the speakers to carry the vision of God everywhere we go in the world, especially in times of service that are being done in places that are in need of it. Overall, the three main ideas that stuck out to me about mission that I learned here at the Mennonite World Conference and around the world are: mission is the true meaning of the church, mission fuels the light for churches in the world, both in the past and present, and also in the future. And finally, if we start to look at the world through new eyes, we will see how we will become better missionaries. Attending Mennonite World Conference was a great time, and I enjoyed talking with people from all across the world. It created a positive and major impact on my life and how I view things about church around the world. Also, it showed me the many ways in which people are serving God, especially in service and mission. It made such an impact on me with meeting interesting, great people, sharing and learning information of the ways of church, that after this experience, I would like to learn more. In order to do this, I would like to attend the next Mennonite World Conference, which is in 6 years in Indonesia. I want to personally thank the church for giving me and the others the opportunity to attend such a wonderful event. Thank you.
Worship is an all-encompassing term for Mennonite World Conference. Simply being in Harrisburg with so many Anabaptists from all around the globe was worship. However, the twice daily worship services were especially inspiring and thought-provoking. Each day, a different continent was represented in the music, giving glimpses into the many ways God is worshiped in the global church. I still cannot get many of the worship songs out of my head, and I predict I'll be singing them years from now. The speakers also left me with much to ponder. A wide range of theologies and understandings of what it means to be the church were presented. But despite this, a core thread of faith in and love for God and the church was evident, giving me hope for the future. For example, one speaker from India reminded us that we stand in need of one another, while the closing presenter for the week emphasized that love is an action verb. It is about both being and doing. Each day also had young Anabaptist speakers, and these people, close to my own age and working through some of the same questions and hopes as myself, were wonderful and encouraging to hear. They spoke of the importance of doubts in shaping our convictions, of experiencing conflict within the church, of acknowledging individual and communal sins, and learning to listen and grow together, among many other topics. The theme for the week was walking with God, and this was subdivided daily into dualisms such as doubt and conviction, conflict and reconciliation, autonomy and community, and giving and receiving. I appreciated the focus on these dichotomies and the message that balance between each extreme is vital for being church together. The overall atmosphere of Mennonite World Conference was an incredible one of fellowship, support, love, and joy across many boundaries, a lived-out week of worship with the global church. The worshipful sense of connection and hope will remain with me far into the future, encouraging and guiding. Thanks for supporting such a formational experience for us all.
Sure. First off, I'd like to thank Meredith for all the work she did putting the video together. That really brought a lot of good memories back and tied everything together really nicely. So thanks, Meredith. So as Emily talked about in the children's story and as you've seen in the video, there were 5 days. Each one had their own theme, as the video showed, and each day had its own cultural theme as well. And so first day was Latin America, then we had Asia, Africa, Europe, and North America. So there was a lot of diversity that we got to see throughout all of that. And then within that, we were each assigned our own topics to look for and focus on throughout the week. And as you saw in the video, Ryan and I were assigned to focus on mission. So mission showed up a lot throughout the week, but some of the major highlights for me, where I saw it, the speaker on the last day, Brooke C. Carey from Canada, he talked a lot about love. And he said, he talked about the fruits of the Spirit and said, love is the first one, and then the other eight are just other descriptions of love. So I thought that was a really interesting way to focus on love. And then also he talked about the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then also love your neighbor as yourself. And he talked about how it can't really be summed up in one piece. There's actually two pieces. The greatest commandment has two pieces, but they're both love. He also talked about how we're stewards of God's grace. We're the conduits to give God's grace to other people. And so we need to go out and make sure we're giving God's grace to each other and also receiving it as well. Relationship is our religion. He mentioned those words. Another one of the speakers that really focused on mission for me was Hippolito Chimanga from Canada. And he said, mission is the DNA of the church, and we need to be very passionate about that. He talked about how Mennonites are really known for their service, how we really love to do service, but we also need to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, and maybe service sometimes overpowers that a little bit. We need to be prepared to give reason for our hope, but also with gentleness and respect. So I thought that was a good balance there. I also wanted to tell you some of the highlights for me outside of just the things we were focusing on. Some of the meaningful experiences for me were definitely, the music was a big part of that in general. There was just so much variety of music. Every day having two worship services where we heard music from around the world, things we knew, things we didn't know, just a lot of variety. The sheer number of people who were just singing together, that was just amazing to me. One afternoon, we went to a hymn sing where people from all around the world, or people, I think mainly from North America, where we have the blue hymnal here, were pulling out their favorite songs, and we were all just singing our favorite hymns together. That was really cool. And then on the last day, the North American day, the last song we sang before we left was 606, and that was really cool to see everybody singing that together. Another mountaintop experience for me was, you saw a clip of it in the video where there was a singer from Spain and the cell phones were waving around. So she had been asked to write a song as a memorial to terrorism in Madrid several years back, and her song was chosen as a memorial to that. And so she was singing about forgiveness and things there. But then there was a small group of people up in the very far top of the arena that started waving their cell phone lights back and forth. And eventually it just spread throughout the whole stadium. And then the lighting crew turned the lights down, and it was just really cool how there was so much unity that was just nothing planned, just spontaneously everybody was doing the same thing. Another meaningful experience, several times throughout the week, I was just struck by sometimes how padded our faith journeys here can be in the U.S. A couple times I heard stories, for example, Cesar Garcia was telling us a story about how when he was younger, he was being interrogated a little bit by an army general, asking him why he wasn't fighting. And it was at a time when his faith convictions maybe weren't the strongest, but because he was able to look at other Christians and other pacifists in the army who were able to stand up. He was able to stand up as well, and that was on the day talking about community. And so that was really powerful. And then I was at a seminar where they were talking about conscientious objectors in Colombia. And there was a couple guys who gave testimonies where they'd been detained by the military because they didn't have a military ID. They're not supposed to have to go into the army, but they were unjustly being detained by the army. And we don't really have to deal with that much around here. And then even stories of people not getting their visas. Like, we don't even think about that. We just drive three states over to go to the conference. But there were a lot of people, even like the worship leaders, several of them weren't able to make it because they couldn't get their paperwork to get here, or people saving up money, didn't have enough money to come. And so there were a lot of things that struck me where it's a lot easier for us here and we don't maybe have our faith tested as much. And so just thinking about like how would I react in situations like that, it was definitely very convicting for me. So it was definitely a wonderful week. I want to thank the church again for the support and the opportunity to go.
So my section that I was assigned was community, and that's what Kristen talked about as well. And like Kristen said in the video, it was kind of like just a big family reunion. Like everyone was just so nice and kind to each other, like they had known them for 20 years, even though they may have just met that day. One example of that is after the worship services every day, we were assigned friendship groups. So the conference just divided all of the people attending into groups, about 15 people in each group, just random. And it just so happened that all of us were in the same group. But in our group also, there was a couple from India, someone who was living in Canada but was about to go work in Tanzania with MCC, and then there was also a bunch of people from Pennsylvania. So that was super cool to make those connections with other people that we would have definitely not met or talked and had good conversations with if it wasn't for the friendship groups. That provided a nice, good way to meet other people, and we had good talks about the service and how we do things in our own church. And at the end of every session that we had with our friendship groups, we said the Lord's Prayer in our own language, but since everyone spoke English except the couple from India, we had them say their prayer in their language, and that was super powerful to be saying that not in our own language, and also knowing that everyone else in the conference at the same time was doing that in their respective languages. That was super cool. And another thing that was super powerful was we could choose a service project to do, and we worked with MDS building a house in the parking lot. And so we were building this house for someone who had lost their home in a hurricane and also by a tornado. So we were working building a house for somebody with people from Canada, Netherlands, all other countries. And we were just building a house together, even though maybe we didn't even speak the same language, we all were helping out a person in need of a home. And then at the end, after we had the wall all built, everyone got in a line and pushed the wall up and stood it up. And that was a super cool moment to be able to look at that and say that we built that together and that's going to go to somebody in need. So yes, it was just a super awesome experience worshiping together with people from so many different countries and so many languages and just seeing all the different cultures. Like we hear all about the global church, but I haven't really ever experienced it. So it was super cool to kind of put faces to what we were hearing about all the time and see how they worship and how we worship, but it's all the same because we're worshiping the same God, and that was super awesome. So thank you so much for supporting us in going. We had such a wonderful time.
My focus was worship during the conference, and worship services at Midnight World Conference were unlike anything I've ever experienced. It was so cool looking around the worship arena and seeing people from all over the world coming together to worship the same God. There are many times that an abundance of languages were being spoken or sung at the same time, and that was truly an amazing sound. Each day we focused on a different region of the world and experienced their style of worshiping God. There are pretty drastic differences between region and region. So Africa Day was by far the most exciting day, and they actually got Mennonites to dance while they were worshiping, and that was quite a sight to see thousands of people dancing and at a Mennonite World Conference. other days included Asia, in which we got to experience the hang drum, which is a big metal dome that creates this deep noise that resonates throughout the whole arena. And then from Latin America, we got to experience wonderfully lively music. And from Europe, we got to hear beautiful German harmonies. And from North America, we all got to join in singing the Mennonite anthem, "Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow," which is really cool. And not only each day was focusing on the region's music, it also focused on featured speakers that focused on ideas and things from their culture and region. So we got to hear on Wednesday, we heard from Tigist, who is from Ethiopia. And one question she really struggled with is my faith an imposition of coloners, or is it the truth? So she talked about that and how the coloners brought Christianity to Ethiopia. And if she was wondering how, if that is who influenced God in her life, or if it's really God in her life. And so that was really pondering question. So the worship services left you with some puzzling thoughts and questions, which was really good. And we had a chance to go to our friendship groups then and talk about those and just continue talking about them throughout the week. And so while we had fun worshiping with thousands of fellow believers, we also had a lot to reflect on. And so the most important thing I got out of worship at the conference was that it doesn't matter how you choose to worship or what language you are worshiping in, God is there in that moment, and he pushes you and pulls you in the direction he wants you to go. And so we just want to thank you again for all your prayers and support for this trip. We all really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it, so thank you.
I don't know if you ever notice, once in a while, Sue and I will whisper a little back, and the last thing that I whispered to her was coaching myself, "Be quick, Tim, don't talk a lot." But there's a couple of things that I want to say. One is a factual detail. It's a detail, but it's a really important one. We gathered together over $5,100 to send these six young adults. 10% of that, a tithe, went to Mennonite World Conference so that they could use that for travel expenses for people in other countries that weren't able to afford the trip as easily. And so I think it's a good example of generosity, and I'm glad that we did that. I think we also need to thank Lotus and Judy Hirschberger, who helped give organization to the trip and served as senior citizens and so forth and so on. They were an important part of that group. In a nutshell, when I think of the text, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples," what came to my mind is that this is the text for Christians around the world. So that means that this is not a United States-centered text. That isn't the world out there, and we are to go into that world, that's part of it. But for the 7,500 people, the world that they entered was the world of the United States. And so they may have a pastor preaching a sermon right now that says, "Go into all the world and where missionaries are most needed," might be this country itself. I wondered how they experienced the United States of America as a potential mission field. What do you think they saw? Well, I know statistically that we learn that while a majority of people in this country still believe in God, that is a generalized belief, and they disavow that majority, many of them disavow having lives committed to Jesus. We're no longer a Christian nation in terms of the statistics. Religious, perhaps, but not Christian. So thinking of Mennonite World Conference, it's a thought that I offer to you, and that is this place here is the world, and this is a potential mission field. I also wondered impressionistically then what these potential missionaries to this country might have felt. What were the impressions that they had, not of those with whom they were gathered, but if they had a chance to travel or be more widely in this country, certainly they would have encountered significant pockets of greed, consumption, decadence, loneliness, and selfishness. Go into all the world and make disciples and bring them into a culture which is a culture of the kingdom of God. So it made me wonder then, if we here at the Mennonite Church of Normal were to follow the practice of missions, but this time on the receiving end, where would this take us? I grew up with missionaries on both sides of my families. When they'd come home, what I would learn is that the missionaries that we sent would go, they would associate themselves with churches in my case in India and also in what was then Tanganyika. And then those missionaries would work with those home congregations to work in this larger mission field. So if a missionary were to come from us from a third world country, from any other foreign country, and we were the hosting congregation, I think the questions that we would be asked would be these. That missionary would first ask us in some way, well, what are we doing? Tell me what you're doing. In this culture which has greed, consumption, decadence, loneliness, and selfishness, and a large number of people who have no particular loyalty that is professed to Jesus Christ, what are you doing as a congregation in this mission field? I would think at least that would be a good question for that partner missionary to ask of us. It would certainly lead to questions then, are we missing anything? Is there some way about the way that we do church or our church that misses this missional focus? It raises a question, as I think in this way, of how might we be challenged, and it certainly raises the question of humility. I'm not going to impose this interpretation on us, but I will say that in general that there were decades and maybe centuries when North Americans thought about missions where there was a certain kind of arrogance that said, first of all, we get it and they don't. We're further along the road of following Jesus than they are. The fact that we articulate things and do things in a certain way is somehow at a subtle level superior. It's what real Christians do, and we need to get them up to our level. And I think we're a missionary to go into all of the world, our world, and find us as a church. It would certainly be an exercise in humility to consider the fact that even though they may not speak the language well, and even though they may not have as long a history as the church, that God may be speaking more deeply to them with a word for us. And so humility would be in mind. And finally, there would be the question of fruit bearing. Certainly that missionary would ask us, well, how do you at the Mennonite Church of Normal make disciples? How do you establish relationships with non-believers and introduce them to Jesus? What's your plan for that? What has worked well for you? And finally, it would be a statistical thing, how many baptisms of non-believers happen here in this congregation each year? Those are some of the things that go through my mind as I think about Mennonite World Conference. I want to close on a slightly different note. There is no question one has to note the incongruity of the way that the Mennonite Church USA convention was held with the conflict and the threat of split and division, and the testimonies that we heard from our six emissaries was one of great unity. It raises then the question of how is it that Mennonites around the world are able to not think identically and yet profess a spirit of unity, but we here in this country have been unable to achieve that. There is no easy answer. That would be much more than one sermon and then some, but I thought I would end this way and note for you what was a sermon series that I preached some months back, and this would be the basis of unity for what we call Mennonite World Conference. These are the seven shared convictions of global Anabaptists, and I end with this. One, God is known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator who seeks to restore fallen humanity by calling a people to be faithful in fellowship, worship, service, and witness. God is known to us and is restoring. Secondly, Jesus is the Son of God. Through his life and teachings, cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world, and offers eternal life. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. 3, as a church, we are a community of those whom God's Spirit calls to turn from sin, acknowledge Jesus as Lord, receive baptism upon confession of faith, and follow Christ in life. 4, as a faith community, we accept the Bible as our authority for faith and life, interpreting it together under Holy Spirit guidance in the light of Jesus Christ to discern God's will for our obedience. So the Bible is central. 5, the Spirit of Jesus empowers us to trust God in all areas of life, so we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. 6, we, Global Anabaptists, gather regularly to worship, celebrate the Lord's Supper, and hear the Word of God in a spirit of mutual accountability. And 7, as a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And the testimony of that event in Pennsylvania was this: this is a sufficient basis for our unity. It is a sufficient basis for our unity in Jesus Christ. Thank you again to the 6 who presented. I want to say one final word that is a two-way. We're watching you, 6. And you are watching us. How we are all missionaries together. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.